Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we are located just a few short miles outside of Boone, North Carolina, on Highway 105 South, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. We'd love for you to come and visit with us in any or all of our services. We have a church website, and on that website we have all of our church information and the address, physical address, things along those lines. We have a section in there that has just sermons that have been preached at the church, and then we have radio broadcast as well. If you have heard a radio broadcast here on Blessings of Liberty that you'd like to hear again, you can go to mountlebanonbc.org and you can bring that up and hear that radio broadcast again. We also have a church phone number, 828-963-4596. We'd love for you to give us a call, and if we are not there, we'll give you a call back. That is forwarded to my home as well, and that's 828-963-4596. But it is good to be here, and my, how time flies. It's October already, and I don't know where September got to. It went pretty fast, but we're glad to be here today. I want to say good morning to Noah. How are you today, Noah?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all our listeners. We appreciate our listeners here. Those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And also those who listen in out of
Watertown, South Dakota.
Watertown, South Dakota. It slipped my mind there.
89.1 FM, The Truth. That's why we're in here together, so we can help each other.
Yeah.
It is good to be here. And we're going to get right into the subject that we have been looking at for the past several weeks. And we've been, well, I guess last week was really the first, but we've been leading up to this subject of signs of the times. Signs of the times. Many times, Christian people will say something along the lines, well, the Bible is being fulfilled before our very eyes, or something will go on, something will happen in the news or in the world, and somebody will make the statement, well, that's just signs of the times. Well, what does that mean? And specifically, are there signs of the times that we can point to and say, look, this is what the Bible said is going to happen, and it is happening? That is a specific sign of the time. So far, and really last week we got into this, we have talked about basically two nations. We talked about America. Well, this is Blessings of Liberty, and we do a lot of talking about America and our Christian heritage, so we thought it would be good to start there. We talked about America. We talked about the Philadelphian church in Revelation chapter number 3, which is referred to as the Philadelphian church age. It was a time of great revival, great missions, a revival of premillennial doctrine and concern or study about prophecy. God's people really getting concerned about that. And we generally make that time period, or see that time period, as the beginning of the 1600s up through the 1900s. And that is the next to the last church. The last church is the Laodicean church. We are living now, I believe, with all of my heart, in the Laodicean church age. There are still some Philadelphian church age remnant that is left, but by and large, in Christendom in the whole wide world, we are in the Laodicean church age. That church said, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. That is the church that the Lord Jesus himself was on the outside of the church, knocking, desiring to get into that church. Revelation 3 and 20, the Bible said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and come into and open unto me, I'll come into him and will sup with him. And I didn't quote that exactly right, but we begin talking about America, and we made some parallel and some comparisons there. Then we talked about Israel as well. As far as signs of the times goes, Israel has to be at the top of the list when discussing fulfilled prophecy. The nation of Israel in and of itself is a miracle, because for over 1800 years they were dispersed as a people among the nations of the world. Now, there has always been a continual Jewish presence in the Holy Land, all the way back to the times of King David, and even before that, all the way up through the centuries leading up to, but as far as a nation is concerned, the Jewish people were dispersed among the nations of the world and persecuted no matter where they went. Leaders, governments have many times over tried to annihilate, to exterminate the Jewish people. Most recently, we could talk about Hitler and Germany and the Nazis and 6 million Jews in the concentration camps. And so he was not the first one that tried to exterminate the Jewish people. But in 1948, a true miracle took place. Of course, there was a lot of events leading up to this time. But in 1948, May of 1948, the Jewish people, we find them once again in their Jewish homeland that was designated to them, or covenanted to them by God. God told Abraham that he would give him that land. And then he reconfirmed the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as well. So we find the Jewish people in their Jewish homeland, and we find them again recognized as the Jewish nation of Israel. That is at the top of the list when we say, or when somebody says, signs of the times. You have got to discuss the nation of Israel. That's number one, as far as I'm concerned, pointing to. But there are many other signs of the times as well, and many of them are also connected with the nation of Israel. Today, we're going to look at Daniel chapter 12. I'm just going to read one verse to begin with, and that is verse number 4. But in Daniel chapter number 12, that's the last chapter in the book of Daniel, and the Lord tells Daniel in Daniel chapter 12, verse number 4, But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. He's coming down to the end of the book. And he tells Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, there are three things in this verse at the end of the book of Daniel. Number one, we're talking about a sealed book. He said, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Daniel is a book of prophecy, and the subject in the book of Daniel, and it's unique among the other prophetic books because the others generally just deal with Israel, or first and foremost, they deal with Israel and what's going to happen with Israel. But the book of Daniel is of particular interest because Daniel deals with the Gentile nations, the Gentile powers, beginning with Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar, and coming all the way up through the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks and Alexander the Great. And then it also deals with the coming of the Antichrist. And the book of Daniel is associated with the times of the Gentiles and the coming of the man of sin, or the Antichrist. And so that is unique to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. This time of the end is characterized in two ways. Now, first of all, he said, seal the book, seal the words, and seal the book until the time of the end. Then he gives this time of the end two characteristics about the time of the end. He says in verse number 4, many shall run to and fro. Daniel, when we get to the time of the end, one of the things that's going to characterize that time of the end is this: many shall run to and fro. Now, you probably already realize this, but I don't know how many really have thought about it. But for thousands and thousands of years, man traveled basically the same way. He either walked where he was going, or he would ride a beast, or be pulled in a cart or a wagon or something like that. And it wouldn't matter if it's a elephant or a camel or a horse or a donkey. He's dependent upon an animal to get him where he's going, or his own two feet, or he would go in a boat, whether he is in a canoe or a small fishing boat or a larger vessel like the Vikings or something along those lines. That was basically it as far as travel was concerned. But you know, in these latter days, you think about what has happened just in the area of man being able to travel. Many of our grandparents, my grandparents, grew up this way. They grew up walking or riding a horse or going somewhere in a wagon. And you think about this generation today, people today that are in their maybe 80s, 90s, some people 100 years old, look what they, or think about what they have seen in their lifetime, the great advancements. Can you imagine going from a time period where the fastest you could travel is maybe, if you're on a horse, 5-8 miles an hour? I don't know. I'm guessing how fast a horse would walk or trot along, maybe. But then they seen in their generation, they seen the appearance of trains. They've seen automobiles. They've seen airplanes. And today, it is nothing for somebody to, I could leave Boone, North Carolina at 12 o'clock today. I could go to Charlotte. I could be on a plane probably by 3 o'clock and within, I don't know, 24 hours be on the other side of the world, thousands and thousands of miles away. Many shall run to and fro. This is a unique characteristic to the end time, to the latter days. So we talk about signs of the times. Well, this increased ability to travel. Many shall run to and fro. Now that is the simplest way I can think of to explain our society today. Is that not exactly what we're doing? We're talking about a minute ago traveling great distances, and that's one thing, but just think about the running to and fro. Last week, in one day, I came to town four times, to and fro, gotta go back, and that's pardon me, that's how people are living their lives. Most people are living their lives with continual running to and fro. So this is, once again, a sign of the times. And then, last of all, in verse number 4, it says, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, much could be said about this. Knowledge shall be increased. We could think about different categories. We could think about medicine today. look at all the advancements that have been made in the area of medicine. We've gone from home remedies and all kinds of things that people used to just make out of nature unto antibiotics, all kinds of things, vaccinations. You just think about medicine. You think about machinery. Think about engines. I like to go, see these old engines, a steam locomotive train, and think about, my goodness, the thought and the precision that had to go into something like that. But then you look at airplanes and you look at these big earth movers, and I mean just anything you can think of, technology. It's been said many times, we live in the information age. A smartphone will come out on the market. I don't have one, and I don't particularly desire to have one, but I've noticed this. Boy, the one phone comes out, and boy, it can do everything except your laundry, and it can probably tell you when you're supposed to do that if you get an app for it. But anyway, just anything like that, it'll come out, and it won't be very long at all. I mean, by the time it comes out and everybody gets one, well, it's already outdated, and they've come out with something else that's greater and faster and smarter and all of these things. How amazing that is. Knowledge in the physical realm, we could talk about that, and knowledge shall be increased. But also, now what Daniel is talking about, the book of Daniel, think about knowledge in the spiritual realm. The last days are going to be characterized by running to and fro, many shall run to and fro, and by an increase of knowledge. Think about knowledge in the spiritual realm. There is a huge interest I have noticed by people in all things apocalypse. I mean, you cannot go through the day without hearing somebody talk about a zombie apocalypse. Big, television shows, bumper stickers, video games, apocalypse this and apocalypse that. All this interest in these last days about the apocalypse. Well, the word apocalypse, it comes from the Greek word apokalypsis, and that is where we get our word revelation from. That's the same word. The word revelation and the word apocalypse is the same word. It means a revealing, and it is exactly the same as you find in the book of Revelation. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you read that in the Greek language, it would say the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, the revealing, the unveiling of. That's what a revelation or apocalypse is. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. So you have all this interest, and people do not even realize it. But when they are talking about the apocalypse, they're talking about the book of Revelation. They're talking about, and it's amazing to me, there's this all this interest in these things, huge interest in all things apocalypse. Now, Daniel chapter 12, I'm going to skip on down for sake of time to verse number 8. The Lord's still speaking to Daniel. He said, and I heard, this is Daniel speaking, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Daniel hears the word, but he does not understand. And verse 9 said, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up. These prophetic words God is telling Daniel, even Daniel, his prophet, his man, he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. What we find here in the book of Daniel is that these things will not be understood until the time of the end. Verse 10, he said, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So he said, Daniel, it's not meant for you to understand it. Go about your business. Go on your way. It's sealed up till the time of the end. And when the time of the end comes, the wicked shall do wickedly. There's going to be an increase in the last days of wickedness. That also is a sign of the times. We'll deal with probably a little bit later on. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So the Lord is telling Daniel, when the time of the end is here, the prophetic knowledge will be opened up. Daniel, you're not going to understand it, but when the time of the end comes, the knowledge is going to be open. The book is going to be unsealed. Now, there have only been, this is very, very interesting, and if you don't get anything else out of what I've been saying today, I hope you'll pay close attention to what I'm getting ready to say here. There have only been two generations of Christians that have had an understanding of the prophecies of the Bible concerning the coming of the Lord. There's only been two generations in all these 2013 years A.D., only two generations. One was the Apostle Paul's generation. He perfectly understood the doctrine of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the signs of the times. Paul understood the signs of the times. Now I want to read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and point out something about the coming of the Lord that Paul said. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now people say, you don't find the word rapture in the Bible, and you do not find the word rapture in the Bible, but you find this snatching away. You find this gathering together unto him, and it comes from a Greek word anyway, and if you could read Greek, yes, it is in the Bible. But anyway, he said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That is a reference to the rapture. He said, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, talking about the day of the Lord, shall not come except there come a falling away first. Paul says, first there's going to come an apostasy. Christianity is going to apostatize. That is that falling away. And that is what that word literally means. He said, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. That's a reference to the Antichrist. The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, in verse number 4, Paul refers to the temple of God. That was the temple in Jerusalem. And so he tells the believers at Thessalonica, he said, that day's not going to come until there's an apostasy among Christianity, among Christians. There's going to become an apostasy. And then the man of sin is going to come upon the scene, and he is going to sit in the temple of God as he is God. That is a reference to the Antichrist. Now, Paul, when he wrote that to the Thessalonians, the was standing in Jerusalem. But in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. The Jews were dispersed. It's called even the diaspora until the late 1800s. And as a result of that, for over 1800 years, prophecy was not at the forefront of Christian theology because the temple was not standing and the Jews were not in the land. If you study church history, that you'll find out that much of the book of Revelation was ignored. And when people tried to study the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel, they were told that it was a sealed book. Where did they get that from? They got it from Daniel chapter number 12. They said, you're not supposed to understand the book of Revelation. That was the answer for centuries. If you study church history, when the book of Revelation was studied or commented on, it was either one, ignored, or when it was commented on, it was spiritualized. And the accepted teaching concerning the Lord's return until just a couple of generations ago was a general resurrection and a general judgment. That's as far as they went. They said, we don't understand it. It's a sealed book. And they preached and taught in a general resurrection and a general judgment. If you study and read Jonathan Edwards' famous message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, that's what he was preaching. That's what he was teaching, that God was just going to blow the whistle and say, okay, this is the end. We're going to put the sheep on one hand and the goats on the other hand, and that's it. And that's how our original constitution at Mount Lebanon, in our original constitution and what we believe, that's what it said. We believe in a general resurrection and a general judgment. And so that's 1891. That's just 120 some years ago. But what is interesting to study out is at the same time, the Lord began to restore Israel to her covenant land. God's people began to see again the truth concerning the Lord's return. I said again, the rapture of the church is not a new doctrine. It is the original doctrine. It's what the Apostle Paul understood was going to happen, that the trump of God was going to blow and God's people would be gathered together unto him. But for centuries, God's people did not understand that. But when the Jew began to go back to the land, God's people began to understand once again the truth concerning the Lord's return. That is called a premillennial doctrine. It's called you hear about premillennial doctrine, or the rapture of the church, followed by a seven-year tribulation, then the second coming of Christ, then a thousand-year reign of Christ. That's a whole series of Bible lessons in a very short summary right there. But you notice what Daniel said, or what the book of Daniel says in Daniel chapter 12, verse number 10. He said, once again, we read over there, he said, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Here's another sign of the times. Some people will hear the truth of the Bible and they scoff and they mock and they do not see it. They will say, oh, I've heard that all my life. Oh, there's nothing to that. I don't believe that. I don't see that. Well, you know what? The Bible said that some would not understand. In fact, and none of the wicked shall understand. But then on the other hand, there are those, but the wise shall understand. They see these things. It is very plain unto them. They look around, they see the newspaper, they see the news, they see the things that are happening in the world, and they say, this is what the Bible said is going to happen. Some will not understand, some will understand. There is a distinct division between those two groups, those that understand, those that do not understand. How interesting that is. Matthew chapter 25 talks about 10 virgins. They know the bridegroom is coming. 5 have oil in their lamps, 5 do not. It said, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But when the midnight cry came, those that were wise got up. They begin to prepare to meet the bridegroom. Are you prepared to meet the bridegroom, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? There are signs of the times. We're looking at them, and I want to thank you for listening in today. Noah's going to come, give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.